this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
All right, guys, welcome to Bell Ringer. Thank you, as always, to Marquis Grand for the intro music. Today on the podcast, I have Marnie Levine from Launch New York. She's the president and CEO. We talk a lot about the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Buffalo, Niagara, recently named number two most booming city for startups in entrepreneur.com, which is a very exciting accolade, and it's added to a very long list, as Marnie notes. So please enjoy the episode, rate us on iTunes, and I will see you at the end of this for my outro. Thanks, guys. All right. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. So for those that aren't familiar, explain Launch New York a little bit.
Sure. Launch New York is what is known as a venture development organization. We are a nonprofit, so we're a 501c3 charitable organization. Our mission, though, is one that actually addresses both the for-profit world and the nonprofit world. As a venture development organization, our goal is to transform the region's economy by helping high-growth businesses through pro bono free mentoring, as well as seed capital access. Plus, we look to grow what's become known as the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And you may wonder, why is that so important? Well, the reason is probably about 2009, a number of reports started to come out showing that all net new job growth in the United States in the last three decades has come from companies 5 years old or younger. So we know that when you're talking about a vibrant economy, entrepreneurship is top of the list.
And recently Buffalo was named by entrepreneur.com, I think it was the second most booming startup ecosystem. How have you seen us grow from that, you know, from so long ago where it would have never been thought of to get that accolade to today or last week when we received it?
Absolutely. We're actually having to keep a running list of the new recognitions that Western New York is receiving as an entrepreneurial hub. And that ultimately is where Launch New York is looking to lead us. The ecosystem, our environment for entrepreneurs has changed dramatically in the past, I'd say, 5 to 7 years. So, in fact, we deserve those accolades, because what used to be a town that, in some respects, had some trouble spelling entrepreneur, now today we have so many events and so many resources that we've, in fact, had to update our directory of resources very frequently, so that those who are out there, regardless of the kind of business, whether it's a Main Street business, a retail shop, restaurant, or a high-growth business that might be tech-based, or supply chain, but something that could serve people maybe even around the world, we have a resource to help. And that wasn't always the case. So I would say that overall, we almost have a confusing network to some entrepreneurs, but the good news is organizations like Launch New York, we are dedicated to helping entrepreneurs weave their way through what is a real challenging maze of resources, but is also a real journey to build a successful business.
Right. First of all, I still don't know if I can spell entrepreneur. I have to type it every day. I'm still right-clicking and spell-checking. But you talked a little bit about how confusing or how maze-like the ecosystem can be. But at least in my experience, I also see a lot of collaboration between a lot of the different players. Is that something that you see, or is it, somebody trying to orchestrate the whole thing to play together?
Yeah, it's a great question. Collaboration is the only way we get this done, because there are so many pieces to building a successful business that most organizations can't serve everything. So, for example, traditionally, where did you get your money? A bank. So when people think about going to a bank, what about their other needs? If they need facilities, so they need an office space, maybe they need a manufacturing facility in some cases, especially in Western New York now, life sciences, they might need a lab. So you need somebody who specializes in that. You need someone to actually help you initially make sure, before you do much of anything, that you have a reasonable business plan. And in fact, we do look to collaborate. So right now, Launch New York is focused primarily I should say solely, on high growth potential businesses. So a business has to have a forecast of $10 million a year in top line revenues in 5 to 7 years for that to be a good fit for us. Why? Because we focus on fundraising through equity capital. And what that means is investors. Well, investors are looking for a certain return. And that kind of return only comes from high growth businesses. So if someone applies online at launchny.org and it looks like it's more of a Main Street business that could make a good income but wouldn't necessarily be attractive to investors, name of the game is collaboration. We can make a terrific referral to partners who can work very directly with the needs of that business, not only in terms of location, but as I mentioned, capital. Most companies, it's one of the key needs that they have. So in fact, we now do have that directory available. So anybody interested in trying to see what's up, you know, what's out there for me, we have a couple of directories. In fact, one at launchny.org, but we also just launched a collaborative initiative that I think reflects exactly your question. We got together with the organizations in town who do service all the way from those grassroots Main Street businesses to high growth, and we created the first digital magazine for entrepreneurship in Western New York. It's called upstartny.org, and there's a resource directory there which will help any entrepreneur determine what type of resource is good for them, whether it's, you know, a business that's retail, whether it's a business that maybe is creating a manufactured product. There's something there for everyone, but it is a pretty long list. I would also say it's not unlike looking things up in the phone book in some respects, where it's really great when someone can be somewhat of a concierge and help you know, gee, you've told me here are some needs that you have. You've just started getting going, or maybe your idea is still what we call napkin stage and you'd really like to talk to somebody about it. And again, terrific partners, long-standing organizations like the Small Business Development Center, as well as literally too many to name in this podcast.
And you mentioned Upstart New York, the resource guide. How important is the other side of it, the storytelling of the entrepreneurial ecosystem? I feel like that's kind of, you know, there has been this growth, but also the recognition from the community of the growth. How important do you think that part of it is?
Well, interestingly enough, first, it's incredibly important, but it's interesting that we still need to do much more storytelling. I'm amazed at how few of these stories actually do hit the media. And I think that's because these businesses are still small, budding businesses. And traditional media really has focused on kind of the big play, the creation of hundreds and thousands of jobs. Well, a small business, I mean, even nationally, is defined as less than 500. And in Western New York, I would argue probably less than 100 tends to be how we think of small business. And then consider a startup. Our client companies, which we've served over 700 in the upstate New York area and since 2012, the bulk of them have initially, when they come to us, probably between 1 and 4 employees. Many of those employees are not actually being paid at that point because most of the companies, or certainly more than half, are not generating revenue at that time. They're not selling product or service yet. So we know that it's really important to kind of gauge where these companies are at and make sure that you can service them, not just point them in a direction. So for us, both resource directory, but also getting people to engage in one-on-one conversations, attend some of the programs that are available. So honestly, during program season, we all know fall and spring tend to be the high times here. You can be attending entrepreneurship seminars, workshops, classes, many of which are low or no cost, practically every night of the week.
I recently, with some help of our staff, wrote a piece for the Founders Institute, and it got picked up by VentureBeat, and it was titled The Advantages of a Smaller Startup Ecosystem. We referenced lower costs than some of the bigger cities and then better access to mentors and, you know, events almost every night of the week. What do you think Buffalo Niagara's unique assets are in the in the startup scene? What makes us better than some of the hubs that come to people's mind first, like New York City or Silicon Valley or something like that?
You know, really that gets to the storytelling concept again. We need to tell the story better of why we are unique. We can't be all things to all people, but I think that Buffalo as a region has some really amazing bones, so to speak. So our buildings and our history in certain industries. In fact, we are leveraging those spaces now, and so many of those might be co-work space. They may be incubators. They may end up being that next site that you go for a scale up. So first of all, I think we've got what I like to call great bones. I also think that this is a bit of an intangible, but there's just a great love of Western New York. And that's something you can't create. There's an incredible desire for Western New York to excel. So people who went to school here, grew up here, that feeling of wanting to be part of this revitalized Buffalo, this renaissance, it is palpable, I think, in a way that it has not been. And then in terms of resources, I would say that while we're still working on getting our whole story out there, in the meantime, we have developed some pretty phenomenal programs. So we do have, as many people know, key Hollywood kinds of activities like 43 North, and we know that every year that is just a shining spotlight for our community to capture attention around the globe, literally. But all year long, we have other incentive programs like Startup New York, which actually allows businesses to get running and have up to 10 years corporate tax-free and personal income tax-free in New York State. Getting the companies to tap into these programs and organize which ones make a lot of sense really helps a lot. Launch New York, in fact, is predominantly privately funded, as well as significant federal funding. And, you know, we're a resource here that is pro bono. So entrepreneurs don't always have quite the breadth of access to organizations like Launch New York in all communities. And I would say that right now, the entrepreneurial playing field is pretty much wide open. So I almost feel like we're like the pioneering days and the wild, wild west, that if you are motivated to start a business, we can find a location for you and a cool location at that. We can put the programs and the incentives and the support around you. We are still working on building up the capital available for companies, whether that be loan capital or equity or investor capital. So that is something that we're still working on. I won't say we've got it all figured out, but the fact that everybody's rallying around has really made a difference. I would also say that Buffalo has managed to put itself on a national stage with people like Steve Case, the founder of AOL, and his Rise of the Rest tour. We have participated in a lot of his follow-up programs. So there is a real desire for both the mentorship and the capital providers to connect to places like Western New York, because we have started telling the story of what great deals we have here.
On the mentorship side, the other day I heard a quote, and I wrote this down: owning a business is like creating a painting that never dries. How do you guys stress that continual education for startups and entrepreneurs, that they always have to be learning and improving, especially when you're working with such small companies, 1 to 4 people?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important points that any of us can make to entrepreneurs. You know, entrepreneurship has become kind of the cool thing. The reality is, it is really hard. It is 24/7. And preparing individuals for knowing that this is a constant learning process. A favorite phrase is to pivot, and that entrepreneurs need to be responding to the marketplace and to pivot. So how do you stress that other than giving good advice, right? Good advice often gets put on the table. In fact, we use a very active mentoring process with what is now nationally and even internationally recognized as an important tool called the Business Model Canvas. And the reason that's so powerful is it has the entrepreneur essentially look at the business as a living, breathing entity that you don't just codify or somehow memorialize in a 50-page business plan and you're done and put it on the shelf. In fact, the business model canvas is a one-page rubric with a series of business elements that you really have to understand and work on actively. So most of our clients come in at a stage where they think they have a really neat idea, but the bulk of them do need to do what we call more customer discovery, meaning, gee, you've had this great idea. You think it's something that everybody wants, this great widget or this great service, but in fact, who else have you talked to? So what we've been able to do is, right from the very first interview, suggest that, in fact, your business needs to change all the time. Your markets will change, even if you think you understand them today, and we'll find out by your customer discovery, know that that will change. So our very first steps typically result in a company kind of shifting gears a little bit, refining, or as we say, pivoting their idea a bit. And that becomes really important to see. And in fact, I think of one of our entrepreneurs who started a company that was intended to provide STEM portfolios for those in college or in high school who wanted to show their stuff. That business and working that business over a period of really a couple of years ultimately yielded a new idea for STEM education kits. And a brand new company was created. And that company, in fact, has had one of the most successful Kickstarter campaigns probably in all of New York State, but certainly in upstate New York. And it was that ability to listen to the market, try your idea, but keep listening to the market, refining, balanced with the fact that you can't have the perfect product ever. So you could tweak and tweak and tweak and never actually start selling. So the other side of using the business model canvas, once we feel like you have a reasonable idea for your product or service, we say, guess what's the best proof for your product to attract funders and other customers? Customers. So get your first customers,
right,
and those revenues and that engagement actually is probably the best and most important thing that you can do, and will also help you continue to refine your product.
Now, on the capital side, you mentioned the seed fund earlier, and you talked about some of the requirements for them being high growth startups, but what is your fund philosophy and what type of companies, maybe by industry or by size, are you guys looking for and would make a good fit?
Great topic to discuss, because most of the time traditional venture capital has what they call a very clear-cut investment thesis. You have certain types of companies that you are focused on, that you're experts in, to the extent that you feel comfortable investing, and where you see your returns coming. As a nonprofit organization, we are focused on growing the economy, creating jobs and wealth through high growth potential entrepreneurs. So for us, we do not come to the table with that traditional VC or venture capital approach. Quite the opposite. We actually are here to make sure we support all the growing sectors. So in fact, we are what we call sector agnostic. Your business can be anything under the sun, as long as you meet that growth potential of $10 million a year. So what happens for us is our model really has taken the best practices around the country in communities like Pittsburgh and Cleveland, where we saw that mentoring companies and pairing that with investment capital at the earliest stages, right when you're proving your concept, that's what has been missing in Western New York. It becomes very important to help at that step, because what would happen is good ideas would otherwise leave the region to go get help and money elsewhere, or worse yet, perhaps they would die on the vine. So good ideas just would never come to market. So where we are is any of our client companies, unlike a usual venture capital firm, they have to be working with one of our 18 entrepreneurs in residence that we have across the region, all at no cost to the client. And they need to be doing that for at least 3 months in any industry sector, but they have to be able to present to us an executive summary, a business model canvas that they've completed hand in hand with the entrepreneur in residence. And they also need to give us a pitch deck and a capitalization table for the company. So this is sort of the baseline for companies starting to go down the path of raising investment capital. So right now we invest typically up to $50,000, but we can invest anywhere from, say, $25,000 to $100,000. And we can do that alone. Most venture capital investments are seeking to have others at the table, maybe even first, and often say to the entrepreneurs, come back when you have your other funders already. Not us. We're here to help make these companies investable. Some of the greatest ideas in Western New York just need that first leg up. So we literally are that highest risk capital in companies that might otherwise be considered too early.
All right, you guys represent the 27 counties from Western New York, is it?
That's right. So we're Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Ithaca, Binghamton, Corning area. So the western half of the state, essentially.
And what's the benefit to a regional approach?
The regional approach becomes really important in high growth potential businesses. These are many times new industries. Almost all of them are. Even if it's manufacturing, it's advanced manufacturing. You might be using some material science in the manufactured product, nanotechnologies, in the health and life sciences. These are often new products and technologies as well. And even if you're a supply chain player, as we call it, you need to understand the complexity of what are essentially evolving industry sectors. Obviously, the IT arena has gone wild, so, you know, mobile apps and SaaS companies as well. So what we find is that to amass the right kind of talent, as well as we do like to attract co-investors, even with our first investment where possible, you want folks who actually have experience and are comfortable investing, advising, talking about what these really innovative startup companies are doing. So are the basics of business the same? Sure they are, right? You need accountants, you need legal counsel, you need all kinds of what we normally think of in a foundational business. But there are nuances as well. And I would also say that even the way you might decide to incorporate your business is affected by whether it's high growth versus Main Street. The accounting practices that you use may be affected by the type of sector. Having a regional play allows us to just call our partners. And in fact, probably every week now we have cross-regional conversations so that you can just pick up the phone or you can email a colleague and say, hey, I have a company that's in a sector we're not so familiar with. And in fact, even our mentorship program, our mentors, in fact, are what I might call shared across the region. And so we have individuals, for example, who may be very deep in the clean tech or energy sector, and they may be doing mentoring through multiple groups. And we find that incredibly helpful. So in fact, we actually run a monthly call for our entrepreneurs and residents, who we call the coaches versus the players. But what they can do is they can compare notes with each other. You know, what are the new clients that you are working with and what kind of struggles are you having? And they can actually share resources and referrals. We've even moved beyond the region in some respects for getting the right resource at the right time. So we have access to a national mentor network of 2,000 experts that we also provide as a pro bono service to help our entrepreneurs and residents work with their clients most effectively. I think the key thing for everybody to remember, many times these seem like businesses that you've never heard of. Very often they're operating right under your nose here in Western New York. You may not have heard of them because a lot of their customers are literally around the globe. So when you are operating on an international global stage, you need to have those kind of inputs. And, you know, we've barely even scratched the surface of talking about the fact of, you know, remote work arrangements and virtual teams, which are, again, facilitated by having more collaboration across the region and even beyond.
What's one of your favorite success stories of a startup from the Buffalo-Niagara region?
You know, I tend to think of them in two buckets. Success stories that are, you know, what we aspire to, that really pave the way and is the role model of what we're trying to achieve. And then some of my scrappy entrepreneurs who are currently trying to make it. So in the first bucket, there are, I think, some great examples that we've, you know, had in the press, but I think a lot of people in the community still are not aware. Consumer health benefits company called Liaison was started by a local entrepreneur in about 2009. And just, you know, 4 or 5 years later, they were acquired for $215 million. That is the kind of success and rapid growth we can see. And we can have many companies who grow lots of jobs. Now, that company, when it was acquired, had about 100 employees and is on its way to 500 employees. Chairman of our board is George Shimon, and we are so proud and fortunate to have him bringing his entrepreneurial talents. He started what ultimately became Synacor and employs hundreds of people in Western New York, again, in the IT arena. So as I look ahead, some of my favorite ones, which we've been sharing the story, trying to do the storytelling, upstartny.org is absolutely all about storytelling. And you would see there as well, again, one of my favorite stories, Rachel's Remedies. And, you know, Rachel, who is a trained attorney and practicing attorney, came up with the idea for a medical device to help nursing moms stick with what is the best way to nourish their children, but overcome the discomfort. And she created what in some respects is a simpler medical device. It's what we call a class one device. It's a heat moist pad that can be used anywhere, anytime to allow, you know, relief of symptoms that would cause nursing moms to stop nursing. And so we're just so excited that this is what I'll call a budding success, because right now, you know, we worked with her to provide services and funding. So she is part of our portfolio of investments. And she has her product in the market through stores like Target and Babies R Us. But she also recently announced a major partnering agreement with an international maternal and child care company called Dr. Brown's. I mean, these are the steps that entrepreneurs walk down. And I would tell you that each one of our portfolio companies really has some exciting products. We have some with nanomaterials that can make a difference in all the way from diagnostic tests to other manufactured products. We really have looked to diversify our portfolio and help those companies who are ready for investment capital. So it's been an incredible ride. We've been mentoring since 2012, and that is something that's available at any time. People literally just apply very simply through launchny.org, and we have that conversation through a phone intake with you and then kind of take things from there. But then the seed fund, that was launched last year. I described a little bit about how we make some decisions about investing in true seed stage, but the demand is incredible. So I would tell you that anybody interested in supporting the type of work that a launch does or being a follow-on investor, the deal flow is incredible. So we, in just 16 months, have done 16 investments in 12 companies. And this last round, we typically have our entrepreneurs in residence work with their clients to submit on a bi-monthly basis. We received 23 applications for our funding. So the demand is really robust. And again, we're everything from diagnostic tests, mobile applications, educational software, supply chain players, right, who might be servicing some pretty technically based industries, but essentially they're helping move product from point A to point B, research organizations, you name it. And so our portfolio at this time is very diverse, and we're very pleased to say that we have a terrific representation of both minority and women-owned businesses. And typically you see the rates of venture capital investment in women and minority-owned businesses is extremely low. Unfortunately, as low as 1% in some cases. And, you know, typically in most arenas, not more than 10 to 15%. So we're seeing terrific 30% plus in many of our regions. So I would just say that our interest is to be inclusive and make sure that you have access to capital. It doesn't matter what your affiliation is. And I do think that's another unique aspect of Western New York. Many regions, for example, have a university that might have specific resources or an incubator, but those aren't available unless you are part of that organization. To have a Launch New York that's able to take you wherever you're from and try to provide assistance, such as really a broad array, not only for ourselves, but will help you connect with other partners, that's pretty powerful.
Okay, now we have a quick blizzard round for you. I think about five questions, and you can answer as quick as you can. If you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Peppermint stick.
Peppermint. Text or phone call?
Text.
Bills or Sabres?
Bills.
Hiking or skiing?
Skiing.
Chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
Flat.
All right. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. I enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Greg. Real pleasure.
All right, guys. That was my conversation with Marnie Levine from Launch New York. Hope you enjoyed this installment of Bellringer, installment episode, whatever you want to call it. And, so go rate us on iTunes. Listen to some of the past episodes. Listen to some of the next episodes. And, I'm Greg Pokrycki. I think that's it. End of podcast. Bye, guys.